Hi, and welcome to Daring to Leap. I'm your host, Lori Phillip. Do you ever feel like the traditional style of leadership is falling short in today's fast-paced world? Are you ready to lead with heart and drive team success? Today, we're joined by leadership expert Carmen Paredes, who will share how compassion and soft skills can transform the way we lead. What if the key to a truly engaged and productive team lies in the very skills we often overlook? Let's dive in. Carmen is the visionary behind Exceptional Leadership Solutions. Carmen's mission is to elevate lives and aid organizations in maximizing return on investment. Her intuitive and intentional leadership techniques are designed to transcend the existing inefficient dynamics in interactions between leaders and employees. Welcome to the show, Carmen.
Thank you, Lori. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
It's so great to see you. It's so great to have you here. We've known each other now for like a year, I believe. And so it's been so amazing to watch your journey and everything that you're doing in the leadership space. And so before we jump into our focus topic today around compassion and bringing in more compassion in leadership, I'd love to hear a bit about your story, to share it with the audience. Talk to us the reason why you ended up leaving corporate to begin with and pursue an entrepreneurial path.
Yeah, thank you for that. I, like many people, grew up with rules and expectations that maybe weren't necessarily mine, right? I had a path that was forged for me, and like a good daughter, I followed that. And so I went to college, I went to grad school, I got a good job. And I always loved to excel at everything I did. So I'm here in this life, so I'm going to be the best at what I did. And I worked very hard to try to get to that C-level rank. And I was really, really close making it. But unfortunately, and this is where I love talking about compassion in leadership, unfortunately, I burned out. And one of the reasons was because the leaders that I had at the very end of my career didn't know how to be compassionate. And it's not like that was the reason for it, but that definitely contributed to me burning out. And I had to choose between my career or my life, basically. And well, guess what? I won my life and my family. So that's what I had to leave. But now I'm very excited and I'm motivated and inspired to share the story, but also the tools I've learned with everybody, because everyone is a leader. You're a leader, your job and your business at home, and how you can show compassion and help others elevate lives.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And we don't have to dive too deep into your story about burnout and the moment that made you decide to shift and all these kinds of things, because we did explore that in a prior episode. And I'll put that link in the show notes if anybody wants to dive deeper in Carmen's story. It is quite powerful on that. One of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, Carmen, and we talk about compassion, and you look back and you're like, okay, there was an environment there that was not a good fit for me, that didn't help me feel great as a leader, empowered in my position. And you can go back and say, well, the leaders weren't compassionate, or the way it was set up wasn't set up well for a working mom, or whatever it is that you want to contribute to what happened. But I think there's something here around how an employee and their manager interact and how important that is. They say the statistics, and when people leave a job, they don't leave the company. Typically, they leave their manager.
That's right. Right.
So that role is so, so important in that interaction between leader and employee, or manager employee, is so, so important. So tell me a bit about why compassion. We don't talk about this term enough in leadership. And so that's why I'm curious about it.
Yes. So let's define compassion in leadership first. So I define compassion as the ability to understand empathize, and act with kindness towards the needs and struggles of others. So that's my definition when it comes to leadership. So now let's normalize that you spend a third of your day at work and you spend more time with your coworkers and your leaders than you do with your family. And so we, our human beings, have been conditioned through our entire life to survive. We are constantly in survival mode, whether you are aware or not, whether you like it or not. And so as we're going through life, because your kids got a bad grade or you argue with your husband or maybe you didn't have enough money to pay or buy something you wanted or someone in your family passed away, whatever it is that you're going through, we're humans and this is happening. The leader who is with you for 8 hours a day needs to be able to hold space for you to not ignore that what's happening, but go through that life situation that's happening parallel to your job and be able to go through it and come out on the other side in one piece. But when we are like bombarded at work with these KPIs and metrics are more important than whatever is happening with your personal life, how can your body and your soul and your mind put up with that for 20 years? I mean, you can probably do it one time, two times, but when it's the constant, nobody cares about me, it's impossible to be able to go through that. And the sad part, talking about statistics, is that 63% of employees feel that employers don't care about their well-being. And that's so sad. And that's how I used to feel too. Nobody cares. Like I'm here giving my best every day and nobody cares whether my son who is autistic is having a bad day or I've gone through a divorce. How are you coping with that? And it's not that you need to go chit-chat with your employees, but can you hold this space? Because we're humans. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think compassion is so important.
Yeah, yeah. And I agree with you 100%. And I think where we might get caught up is, one, you already mentioned it, we can get so busy into the day-to-day stress of the things that we have to get done in our role on our teams, the metrics, the results-oriented focus of some of our jobs, that we kind of miss a bit of that connection that the people that we have working with us, working for us, and we work for are human beings that have other lives.
And I think that's really a misconception, because as a leader, and I was a leader for 20 years, and I really pride myself to have been a great leader. And the way I know that is because the people that used to work for me still want to hang out with me. And in fact, I just got together with a pair of them that are in town for a meeting with the new leader now. And they reached out to me. And when we were planning on where to go, because they are not from Alaska, I said something like, so you don't eat seafood, so let's go to this and this and this place. And he was like, you remember? I'm like, of course I remember. I care, right? And so we think that we need to be so focused on the numbers and the bottom line that we don't have time to care for our people, but it doesn't take extra time to care. You need to embody that, right? And I remember I always start my one-on-ones conversations with, hey, what did you do last weekend? Just care, like you would with a friend or you would with someone you're mentoring, right? It doesn't take time, I guess, is what I want to say.
Hello, Daring to Leap community. I'm so excited to invite you to a free virtual event that I am hosting called the Ready to Shine Summit, how women can successfully navigate their careers with more ease, purpose, and confidence. I've invited a powerhouse lineup of expert speakers to share with you all of their insights, tips, and guidance. You can learn more and sign up at www.readytoshinesummit.com. Be sure to check it out. I can't wait to see you there. Bye. And I think that women, and a lot of the people listening to this podcast are women, that we naturally take this step as part of just our nature to care, to be nurturing, to want to know. and have maybe a little chit chat before we dive in to whatever we're trying to do. And so I think it's a couple of things. It's one, it's like, how do we as leaders navigate in an environment that maybe the leaders above us aren't showing that kind of strong leadership, and then continue to model it as we continue to grow as leaders ourselves. What are your thoughts on that, Carmen?
You nail it right there, because maybe we have a harder time showing above what needs to be done. But the reason, and again, this is where compassion comes to, right? Understanding where they're coming from. This is nothing to do with you or me, right? Like, they were model the behavior. And so that's a battle. But then we have the responsibility to model the behavior for the next generation, for the next wave of leaders that are coming. And when I say leaders are everywhere, right? Like, if you're an entrepreneur and you are dealing with a contractor who is doing your design, your arts, or your social media, whatever, right? How are you showing compassion to that interaction? With your kids, how are you showing compassion? How are you teaching your kids to be compassionate towards others, right? And if you are in corporate, then you have a little more pull people in a daily basis to show compassion. But it's like, yeah, you can see how these words like applies to everything, right? Like, not reacting to how you're being treated because, oh, they didn't know how to do it. They weren't treated with compassion. They don't have a model to follow. They are in survival. So there's a whole different set of skills to change that dynamic. But you have the responsibility to show it and model it for those that work for you, that work with you, that you have control of.
Yeah. And so there's another misconception that I was thinking about on this topic. So I think one, we can innately see as being a good person that we should care and take interest in the people that we work with, the people that work for us, all of that. But then I believe there might be a misconception around the value, the business results around taking that extra step and taking the time to really to get to know what is going on with others in the workplace. Do you have some examples or information around where that tie to results and return on investment?
I do. And I had to do a lot of research because I'm speaking about this topic on my TEDx. And there is a research from Gallup and LeadX on employee experience. And it shows that your manager cares as an initiative is a top five driver for employee engagement. And we all know that highly engaged teams are 21% more productive and experience 28% less turnover than those with low engagement. And if you take, turnover is the highest operating cost to any company in this day and age. So if you can reduce the turnover of your teams and your leaders, you are making money as a business right away. And that applies to any company everywhere in the world.
The engagement is so important. And I think employee turnover, I haven't seen the statistics on it, but it seems like it's going higher and higher. It is more likely now that people are jumping around to different roles than they used to in the past, where you worked for the same firm for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And so this cost of training someone new over and over and people switching roles over and over and over is so high and can cause a ripple effect in quality, in all kinds of things on a team, for sure.
So I know this with my corporate consulting clients, I help them reduce turnover. So I am very versed on the facts of this. It costs anywhere from a whole year of salary to 2 or 3x, depending on where you are in the scale. If you're an entry-level employee, mid-management, or senior leader. Imagine someone from a call center, right? You think like, oh, they just make little money and it's easy to train them. No, it's not. It's not easy to train them. They need to know how all your products work. And in that process of disengagement, where they are looking for a job, because remember, turnover is not just them leaving. It's that period where they're like, I'm checked out, quiet quitting. And so I'm looking for a job. So I really don't care. and then I leave, right? So it's actually longer than the actual moment where they leave. They're mm-hmm. treating your customers very poorly because they don't care, right? Mm-hmm. Then in the case of leadership, it's not only all the projects they are leading, all the things that I know, all the things that are not documented. I mean, that happened in my case. It's not like I was trying to take things with me. I just didn't have time to document all the things I had in my head. But then some team members left because I did. Because as you said, people leave the leaders, not their jobs. And some people stay in a job because of the leaders, not because mm-hmm. of the company. So when I left, there are actually three people left, right? Within three
yeah. months. Wow. Wow. I didn't realize when you put the data behind some of the costs, how big it is. Mm-hmm. I think when you look at where we're going in the future of work and what employees are starting to value more and more around connection with the company, around values, around their purpose and their mission, and actually wanting to be part of a culture that cares about them, I think we're going to go from a place of we hardly talk about compassion and leadership to a future where this is something you need to do, or you're not going to be in that next tier of leader that you need to be. Talk to me a bit about, I know you have a leadership framework and compassion is just one piece. We're not saying here that, okay, to be a good leader, all you need to do is care about your employees. We're not saying that. That's just a really important foundational piece that I believe is often missing when we think about leadership. What are some of the other things that you believe are important for leaders?
Yes. And I just want to is that I am assuming that you are very good at your job, right? Like this framework and what I help companies do is not necessarily to refine the technical skills. That for me is a given. You promoted to leadership someone who really knows their stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But how can you get people to really be committed to your mission and your vision as an organization if you don't take care of the soft skills? And that's what we're talking about here. So my framework is the CARES leadership framework, and compassion is the first thing because I believe that's the foundation of everything, like that human connection and caring. But then you have authenticity. Right? People can read you when you're pretending to care. You actually have to care. You actually have to be compassionate. People can read that, especially the new generations that are very versed with new age things that are out there, right? So authenticity is the second one. And that's really how you create that open policy communication that it has to be felt. Like I really can come and talk to you. That. Then we have resourcefulness. And for this one, I like to say that you need to tap not only on all the tools and technical stuff that are outside, but with your internal guidance. I cannot tell you how many times I made leadership decisions with my gut feeling. I hire people without reading the resume. And people used to say like, how do you always hire the best employees? It just felt like it. It just felt like it was a good match. I can read their energy. So that's actually something that I teach too. It's not out there mainstream, but it's something that we all have, right? Then how you empower them, how you help them become the fullest version of themselves. How do you create that environment where they feel like I am good at this thing. And even though it's not in my job description, I'm going to bring it forward because the company needs it. And then when you are fulfilling your passion, why do you want to go somewhere else, right? And then last one is support. So support is how you have that framework so people can feel safe to say, hey, Lori, I have a problem. I have a personal mm-hmm. problem. And it doesn't mean I'm not going to do my job, but I just want you to know if I feel a little off, that's why, right? And mm-hmm. and so that's what the whole thing creates, that engagement and commitment. And that's what helps you be able to ask someone to do, jump a little bit and they jump a mile for you because they know that you care about them.
Yeah, I love the whole framework, Carmen. I really love how the acronym and how it's all pulled together. And these are the things that I believe that we need to continue talking about over and over and over again. And I have a feeling that people that are listening are like, yes, 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 yes. But then we get to work and our to-do list is 20 miles long and we're bombarded with meetings and we're just going from one thing to the next, trying to keep ourselves afloat. How do we as leaders carve out the appropriate time to focus on all of these things with our teams?
I would say the first thing is self-awareness, right? As I mentioned, we are all conditioned to be in survival mode. Your brain is designed to keep you alive. That's it, right? We just need to live till tomorrow, right? So when we get triggered and this rush, or let's just focus on deadlines and KPIs, it's a way to survive because we want to be liked by our leaders. We want to deliver. That might be the conditioning that you have, that this is the only way you have some self-worth. There's a lot of things that come with childhood experiences that just mask everything that's happening, right? So the self-awareness that these exist is the first step, believe it or not. And I remember when I conceptualized this, and even though I didn't have a name for it, but I was living it in a daily at work. I would take like 5 seconds before a meeting to grab, to center myself, to let go of whatever happened in the meeting before and make sure I wasn't projecting that forward to anybody, right? Because it's very easy to go from a bad meeting and make the next one worse just because we keep carrying the thing. And so self-awareness and just connection with like, I don't want to be in this survival mode, you know, I don't need to pass this over. That will be the first step that anyone can right now.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there's probably an assumption there that's not true, that this will take a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Well, what you just said, like take just a few seconds before a meeting to center yourself or take a few breaths or before you get started, instead of jumping right in, check in with a few people. Or so maybe it's just adding in an extra layer to your process right up front to take the time. And I was this week and last week, I was looking at a lot of like streamlining efforts in my work. How do I make this a little bit more smoother and really be more efficient in the future? And what happens is that it takes more time up front, but then it's worth it on the back end. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is one of those things where, although it's sometimes people see it as fluffy or maybe the first thing to drop when you have a lot of things on your plate, the truth of the matter is that it's so important that it's worth taking that time up front, and you're going to see the results down the road, especially around what you were talking about, Carmen. If you want to have somebody on your team go the extra mile for you, this is how you do it, right? And we can all reflect and relate to having managers or leaders in the past that we were willing to go the extra mile for. And what was it about them? And I believe it fits right into your framework. Then they did those types of things. And that's why we were willing to do that.
Yeah. And even the way the name of the framework came about, I was talking to an old employee and he was just telling me all these beautiful things about me. It was really touching. But I actually asked him, because I was trying to understand from their perspective, my leadership style and how is that I really had impacted them. And what I keep hearing over and over from them is that I care, that I care. And then I'm like, okay, caring. And so I did a little magic with words and the word cares became the acronym with the actual things that I did too. But we're humans. We want to be valued and appreciated and recognized and be cared for.
Yeah. What's interesting to me, Carmen, is that this feels so basic in the terms of like, yeah, of course, I should care about my employees. I should care how they're doing. It should matter to me what's going on in their life. I should take the extra time to get to know them, cut them some slack when they're having a bad day. These types of things seem to me like, of course. Yet we all know that that is not the reality of how a lot of leaders and managers treat and interact with their employees. And I think if we come back to a place of that you mentioned earlier, compassion for them around they didn't get modeled how to do this in the work environment. And they've probably had leaders in the past that only showed them how to get results without caring and doing some of these extra things that in the past we've seen as, quote, extra, not, you know what I mean? Like, so I read a post on LinkedIn at some point where we need to come up with a better word for soft skills because they're so foundational and important.
I know, because the notion of soft skills makes it sound like they are not important, but they are everything. Again, we are assuming that if you got this job as a leader, you already know your stuff, you already know your craft. So another 10 people, right? And what I find is that a lot of companies, and having been in leadership, I was a vice president. I know how these things work, right? Like, you get to a point where you don't have any other way to promote this person and give them a little bit of recognition or extra money. And so what do? You make them a leader. Well, that you are assuming that everyone knows how to be a leader. And I think there's a lot of people who are smart, capable, and they should continue to be individual contributors, because leadership is like dancing or is like painting, right? Like, don't give me a canvas unless you want like a black blob. Like, I am not a painter, right? Mm-hmm. And so why would you assume that just because you're smart, you can be a good leader, right? Things that you can learn, and it requires a lot of practice, but not everybody has it as a natural talent. So at the very least, have some skills, some training skills that you can teach people. And I wrote a post in LinkedIn about this because I keep seeing a lot of chief technology officer training at Wharton or chief product officer training at Kellogg, very Ivy League universities. Mm-hmm. And I was like, when there's going to be a leadership skills training for this level of people? I'm not talking the $20 training that you can buy in Udemy, and there's nothing against that. That's better than nothing. But like, no, the immersive training that you actually invest, like you invest in these technical skills, because as you said, they're soft. So why would we do that, right?
Yeah, I think we're going to get there, but it's shifting very slowly. And I think what's going to really push it forward and where we can all support this, people that are listening, is that as the wave of female leaders rise and they lean into their natural skills around this and model what a compassionate and caring leader could look like and make it okay to present yourself like that, we're going to see a shift in the importance of this. People are going to start to notice the results. And unfortunately, good, bad, or indifferent, that's how it works in culture, right? Like, it before it becomes a big mainstream type of initiative, a lot of companies are waiting to really see the results. They want studies. They want consulting work around, we implemented this set of training around these quote-unquote soft skills, but really important skill sets that our leaders need to do that aren't technical. Right? Like, how do I deal? Like, not, I don't want to say deal, but how do I treat my people in a way that will help them do all those things you're talking about, empower them, feel like they can't matter, all these types of things.
You said something very critical there, Lori, which is, as leaders, as women start getting promoted into leadership, and we use our program in our DNA skills of nurturing. So the fundamental thing there is that once you get to that position, and this was very hard for me. I'm a mechanical engineer. I was around men all the time. Then I went into leadership and I was most often the only woman in the room making decisions, right? Mm-hmm. And so unless you're clear that this works and confident that you don't have to be in the masculine energy, you can get things done when you're in your feminine energy, which is that caring, nurturing one. And by the way, every person, males and females, you have both and you want to be in your elevated version of both. Topic for another episode. But you want to be able to embrace that feminine energy, which is the caring, right? Regardless of what other people are doing. And so that's key, right? Like not copy, because they haven't been modeled. So they haven't modeled it to you. And then that's how we keep repeating the cycle of insanity.
Thank you for adding that. It is so important because we do get a lot of pressure, and especially if you're stepping into a new position on a new team, you don't have the experience that you will have in the future, right? We all have to start somewhere. And it takes a bit of courage and a bit of confidence to lean into some of these things that aren't part of the existing culture and start to show, hey, I can be this way with my team, and look, my results speak for themselves.
Right.
And my team's loyalty speaks for themselves. And I think a lot of it also comes down to authenticity as part of your framework, is that lean into your natural gifts and talents. And that's how you can shine, but it is also very hard because it's vulnerable and it's not something that the team is already championing as a way to move forward, likely because it's unique to you and your own natural skill set.
But Lori, I was thrown in the middle of fire so many times. I was known for, if it's broken, let's give it to Carmen. She will fix it, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember the last 3 years of my career, I was thrown into this project. It was a disaster. I didn't know anything about it. And I got a new team and a new project. And this is where authenticity comes. And they actually have given me this feedback. I literally said, I don't know anything about this. I cannot do it without you guys. What do we need to do? Right? Instead of what most people would do is pretend I'm the leader. I know it all. Like this is how we're going to do it. I know nothing about this thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, teach me, right? My job, especially when you get to the higher levels, my job is not to do. My job is to lead. I can be a guide, right? Tell me all the info and then I'll guide you through the right thing, right? You don't need to be pretending, right? And so this is where authenticity also comes to. It's like that, like fortress, like vulnerability, as you were saying, right? Like, don't be afraid to show vulnerability because it just makes you relatable to them.
It really does. It does. I mean, you're going to have some people that are just like, you don't know. There's always going to be that person that's been there for 30 years that knows everything and so isn't happy when somebody comes in to lead them that hasn't been there for 30 years. Yeah. Those people exist, right? Yeah. But generally speaking, coming in and owning where you're at and where the team needs to go from a vulnerable place is always going to result in a better outcome. There's one more thing I want to bring up before we close out on this topic of compassion and leadership, because we talked a lot about caring for employees, caring for our teams, caring for our colleagues. And I don't want to forget compassion for ourselves. Talk to me, Vic Carmen, because when I think back about your story and you burning out and your team loved you, but you were drowning in work and hours and not taking care of yourself. So let's talk a bit about why that's also important and a piece we don't want to miss.
I am so glad. Thank you for bringing that up, because that's where everything starts, right? Everything starts with self-compassion. And someone asked me once, like, how do you do self-compassion? And I had to come up with a very quick way to do it because it was kind of in a live interview too. And I thought it was a very good, and actually this is what I do to myself. If you just think about your day and you, as if you were talking to a friend, most likely, because this is what we do, we point out all the bad things that happen. 90% of our thoughts are repetitive and 75% of those are negative. That's just statistics, right? And so you will probably be beating yourself up for all the things that went wrong, all the things you didn't do, all the deadlines that you missed, all the conversations that went wrong, so on, right? But self-compassion feels like these friends that love you, that have a beautiful energy like Lori, and that is going to say, Carmen, but what about this? You did great here. And what about there? And you handled that very well. Or why does it matter that you didn't get it done? You can do it tomorrow. And see how my voice changed, right? Like, because you have to have that nurturing, loving, caring thing that you do with your best friend, or you do with your children, or you do with your spouse. That's what self-compassion comes to. And it's something that you have to do in the daily, because you cannot practice it with your employees if you're not doing it for yourself. So I'm so thank you for bringing that up, because yes, we need to start there.
Yes, yes, yes. So we're going to start to close this out, Carmen. What last kind of closing thoughts or words or anything we haven't brought up yet that you want our really amazing group of female leaders that are listening to this show to know to help them on their journey?
One of my missions is to make sure everyone understands the ripple effect that we have in people. We don't think often about what our interaction with one person is going to do to 10 people, 6 degrees of separation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about the impact that you have in the world, you all of a sudden start really realizing like, oh my God, I really need to be responsible and accountable for the way I show up every day, right? And so I will invite everybody to think about that and start taking accountability and responsibility for your presence, for your interactions with anybody at the grocery store, with a vendor that's calling you to ask for a paycheck, or your kids, the teachers, because that impacts. It's like pebbles in a pond. Mm-hmm. There's this ripple effect. And it's kind of my mission. It's just elevating lives through compassion.
Well, I appreciate you so much, Carmen. It's been such a beautiful conversation and one that we need to continue having in the future. If you could share with our audience on where they can connect with you and learn more about you and your work.
So I'm in social media, LinkedIn and Instagram, Facebook. I am Carmen Paredes. And my website is exceptionalleadershipsolutions.com.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you've enjoyed it, I would love for you to subscribe. If you're already a subscriber, don't forget to share the podcast with a friend. Make sure to tune in next week. We will be speaking with Anne Welsh about how she found the courage to pivot from a prestigious career at Harvard to doing what she loves. I hope you have an amazing week. It's your time to shine. Bye.